Welcome to Friends of Planet Shakers. Today we are so excited to have not one of our friends, but one of our family, Pastor Reggie Dabbs. Over 20 years ago, I was in the United States and I was looking for people who I thought would be a great blessing to Australia. And I ran into this man in Fort Worth, Texas. He was working with the ministry of Dave Reaver, who was an amazing man of God. And Dave Reaver said to me, "You need to get Reggie Dabbs." And so we took a step of faith and we invited him to Australia. And I don't know anyone that's been our friend that has been to Australia more than Reggie Dabbs. Reggie is the number one high school speaker in the world. He has an amazing impact, not only in young people, but in people's lives, in families. And he's been a part of our journey. Unfortunately, this year, because we couldn't have Planet Shakers Conference, we couldn't have him back live in the flesh, but we have him here today. So welcome, Reggie Dabbs. Great to have you, my friend. Good to see you. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, Pastor Russell. It's so good to see your face. It's been a long time.
It has. Look at you with your Dallas Cowboys top on.
Come on. We're going to the Super Bowl this year. We're going to win it, whether there's fans there or not. This is our year.
That's true. And I remember one of the great highlights of my life was you actually paid for me to go to the Super Bowl in Phoenix, and it was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
It went
amazing.
Down to the last play. It was the closest Super Bowl in history of the Super Bowl, and you were there screaming right beside me.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Oh, and it was so much fun. I'll remember that till the day I die.
It's a highlight for me. And the first time I met you was in Dallas. People who know you would know a little bit about your life, but just give us a glimpse of your life leading up to your ministry and what happened there.
Yeah, when I was born to a very young, my mom was very, very young. She had one son and two daughters who were twins. And when she got pregnant, she had slept with a man for $20 to get food for my brother and sisters. And then she realized she was pregnant. And she actually gave me away to her favorite teacher at school. So I was raised by my mom's public school teacher who taught me everything I know. And that teacher's husband was the school janitor. So I grew up with the public school as a background of everything that I do. And then as I got older, I remember always asking my foster care parents, "Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this?" And they kept saying, "Because we can, because we can." And then one Sunday at church, they did the story of the Good Samaritan. And when church was over, my foster care dad says, "Now you know why we did this, because you were on the side of the road and somebody had to take you home. And everyone passed you by, but I couldn't pass you by." And he had no idea. They didn't know I would be Reggie, like everybody says now. Yeah. But that passion and hope that they gave me grew into me wanting to let the world know that hope, that love, that no matter what journey you're on right now, no matter where your road is, you may be in front of the Red Sea and you're like, "I don't know how I'm going to get through this." You just need to know God already made a road through the Red Sea. He's about to part the water and you can see the road soon. So he's got to keep hope, keep faith, because you're going to make it. You're going to make it.
Well, that's a very important message for right now. It's a crazy, crazy time. We've never had a time like this. And it might seem like people are at the Red Sea. One of the things that I love about you is your school assemblies. The first thing we brought you into wasn't Planet Shakers, it was Youth Alive. And people were blown away by your school assembly. What's your approach to when you go into public high schools and what you want to see happen there?
Well, you got 30 seconds to get everybody's attention or else it's over, especially with a teenager. So I usually always start by just letting them know, "I just want you to know I'm the smartest guy in the world. And I just need to let you guys know this is the most important thing. Number one, they're boys and girls are different. if a girl has to go to the bathroom, two girls get to go with her. You've never seen a boy get up in class and go, "Ooh, I got to go. Hey, Steve, let's go pee-pee." Ain't happening, dude. You know, the jokes and the humor, it grabs everybody. But then I pick up a saxophone and I start playing the music that everybody knows and loves. And I keep playing that. And then I got them. And then I tell my story. And then everybody has a day they wish had never happened. Everybody has a moment they wish they could change. But you can't change your past, but you can change your future. And that's one of the biggest phrases that I use in public schools all the time, because today's a new day. and then you make a right choice, you can change this day. And that's where we go. We can't do nothing about what happened. We can do something about what's coming. And we have to set ourselves up to win. So in my assembly programs, I use humor. I use jokes. I make teachers look like heroes because they are. Public school teachers do a great job with our young people, and they need to know how valued and how important they are. And I try to make everybody in the room know that they are important.
Yeah. That is a statement that you make all the time, which you mentioned there. You can't change your past, but you can change your future. And one of the things I would say about you is you're a peddler of hope. You bring hope to people. And people, young people, older people sitting in a challenging time, and you give them a picture of what hope can look like. And I've seen kids in schools cry, laugh, and principals cheer, and the impact has been crazy. You've been involved in some pretty challenging times in high schools in America. They call you out when certain things happen. I think you were involved with Columbine, and they asked you to come in after that. What's that like going into places like that?
It's one of those moments back. It was the most intense moment of my life up until about a month and a half or 2 months ago. When the whole racial thing went down in America big with George Floyd, my phone started ringing off the hook, Pastor. I mean, everybody wanted to know, what does Reggie think? What's Reggie's opinion? I mean, from school superintendents to principals to teachers, pastors asking me, what do I do? What do I tell my people? I felt like 2 months ago, I was back at Columbine, about to go out on the auditorium floor, and knew every student was a part of that, have lost friends. They were only a month and a half out of burying their friends, and I had to speak. And in that moment, just like 2 months ago, you just say, God, give me the wisdom. Give me the wisdom of Solomon. Give me the strength of David when he faced Goliath, and let's do this. And Russell, I know that there's a way through racism. I know there's a way. Me and you have talked about this. We've been around, and I didn't expect to go there and hear, but you know, God has a plan, and I think he's ready. It's like when COVID started, you know, it's almost like God looked at the whole world and says, okay, kids, go to your room. And when you come out, you need to be better than you were before I sent you there. And I'm just hoping that we as the world can figure out what we can do better, how we can run better, how we can love better, how we can spread the love of Jesus even more as we come out of this. And we will come out of this. I just want everybody to know, out in Planet Shaker world, we're going to get through this. And there's going to be a day we'll be in an arena together again, worshiping God. And it's going to be better, because now we know what it's like not to have it.
Yeah. What would you say? You know, that's a very good question to ask. What would you say to people? A pastor rings you, someone rings you 2 months ago. We saw what we saw on television. It was terrible. Yeah. That should never happen to any individual, that breath is taken away from anybody. It's a God-given gift. And then you have the whole race thing behind it. How would your response be to this moment in time?
My first response is love will win. Love will win. Yeah. Nelson Mandela said it. He said, we must be moved by generosity of spirit, for that is the only thing that can conquer the hate of our past. So that hope, that love, that, hey, I'll carry your stuff 2 miles, not just one. You asked me to do one, I'm going to do two. It's that, I'll be honest, I was on a plane the other day and the basketball game started and all the players were on a knee. And the guy beside me said something very derogatory, just very bad. And a little boy right behind me, I didn't even know there was a boy on the plane. Little boy behind me said, Mama, did you hear what he said? And as fast as I could, I spun around and said, hey, little boy, listen to me. Sometimes adults say things that they don't mean to say out loud. But obviously, I think this guy is a military man. I think he fought for our country. I saw a tattoo on his arm. So he had to sacrifice a lot for us to be here. And that just made him mad what he saw on the TV. And the guy who jumped up and he goes, son, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And he said it to everyone who could hear him. I'm sorry. I just let my emotions get the best of me. And I said to him, the soldier, I said, thank you for your service to our country. Thank you what you've done for our country. thank you so much. And I understand your passion. He goes, well, please forgive me, sir. I said, no problem. And when I sit down about 5 minutes later, the guy across the aisle looked at me and said, how did you know what to say to bring the temperature down on this plane? Because everybody was so upset. But in one sentence, you just did that. That's the church. That's us. You know, we have to, we got to listen so that we can learn to react the way we have. Because you know me, Russell, there were two Reggies on that plane right there. One, military boy or not, I'll punch him in the nose and then pray God heals him after I'm done. But two was the Jesus in me that saw a teachable moment. And that one, and the moment that one. And we got to make sure that in every encounter that we have, that the Jesus in us wins. And it's going to be hard, but we got to do it. We need to do this.
I think my worldview is I honor everybody. The honor means to give weight to give value, to esteem.
Absolutely.
You bring the greatness out of people because of who God made them to be, the identity they have in Christ. And, you know, I love our church because our church is a church for all people, for all generations, for all cultural backgrounds, because that's heaven. Heaven is a church for all. And I think the one thing that you talk about a lot is love overcomes. You know, I said this the other day to our church, the opposite to fear is love. It's not faith, because perfect love casts out all fear. Faith doesn't cast out all fear. Because I experience the love of God, then I experience faith, but I got to experience love first. It's God died for us on the cross. For God so loved the world that he died for us, and then we get faith because God is love. So this moment is a moment to love people and love them through any situation. Doesn't matter where you sit on situations. What would you say about that?
When Jesus was on the cross, he prayed three prayers. The very first prayer he prayed was, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So Jesus is literally being nailed to a tree. And while that Roman soldier is coming down with that nail, he's looking past the event that's hurting him right now. He's looking past the pain, and he's looking past the anger in the eyes of that soldier. And he's looking at the heart of that soldier, and he's seeing the real reason. Like someone who hates someone for the color of their skin, there's a reason that happened. If I can just get past that hate, that initial hate, and unpeel some of that onion of their hard heart, and they then realize where they're from, then we can do that. And I think that's Jesus was one of his greatest last things he did was to pray that prayer, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. While he was being crucified, because he looked to the heart of the guy hurting him instead of looking at the event that was happening to him. That's what we have to do as the church.
Yeah, wow. And to model it, I hear a lot of people have a lot of words. You know, there's a lot of words going on. You know, we should do that, should that. But we got to model it. I always say, don't just listen to what we say. Look what we do. And a church that models loving everybody, honoring everybody, a church that lives in forgiveness and wants forgiveness, a church that shows the hands and feet of Jesus to the world, looks after the poor, looks after the widow, looks after the injustice of this world, and models it and says, okay, we want to show you heaven. We just don't want to talk about heaven. We want to show you heaven. It's like people who talk about healings but never see anyone healed. You know, we just don't want to be people who just talk about things. Let's be people who do things. And that's what I love about you, is you are a person who is an amazing communicator, but you don't just talk. The one thing that keeps anyone coming back to Planet Shakers is not their sermons on the stage only. That's an important thing, that people hear great messages. And it's not just what's on the stage, it's what's lived off the stage. And you live what you say. And, you know, when you go to a student and say, you can't change your past, but you can change your future, you're actually living that daily on a daily basis. And it is an amazing thing. Tell us, the first time you came to Australia, what was your impressions of Australia?
Oh, because it was Adelaide. That's just, you should never come to Adelaide on your first stop. And it was back before they had a real airport. It was like I landed in Calcutta, India. They didn't even have, there was no terminal. It just, these stairs came up and the plane, it stopped in Adelaide and it was going to Perth. So nobody got off the plane but me. I'm like, wait a minute, is anybody else coming? And they're like, no, we don't go to Adelaide. That was my first thought. I'm thinking, this is crazy. But man, I landed and we went straight in and did schools from that first school. I can say I have friends around the world, but I have family in Australia. And the things I've gotten to do in the world scope all started with Pastor Russell and with Youth Alive when he was running it and Planet Shakers. Literally, your church and your people have opened up me preaching the gospel literally around the world on the face of the planet Earth. And I'm not only proud of that, I'm honored that when people go, hey, didn't you start out with Planet Shakers? Yes, I did. That was me. You got that. Absolutely. I'm loyal to the end of the game. But I loved it. I just loved it. And I was going to be in Brisbane doing schools in May this year. And we're going to put that on hold. But I know we already have that scheduled next year. But I'm trying to make this interview go so good.
Yeah.
That I get an invite back to Planet Shakers. That's my whole thing. That's why I'm going over the top.
I think they're trying to get you to do hot off the press. I think we're trying to get you right now to film something for our Union Youth Camp because we can't meet. We're doing virtual.
Done deal.
And so that's going to, you know, we have a lot of people attend that, but then we'll get you back for conference next year. That's just, if we can meet. Here is just a crazy place.
It's going to be a miracle, man. God is a miracle God. There's a road through that Red Sea. Come on.
Amen. Amen. So we did schools. Australia loved you. You know, people just thought you're amazing and they continue to. And then I started a conference and I invited you to Planet Shakers conference. So you had context of Australia, context of Youth Alive and me. And then you came to Planet Shakers conference and you were there early on. So you've seen the growth of it. What would you say you saw and what stood out to you?
I've heard people make a comment, heaven on earth. Literally, I've heard that my whole life. Heaven on earth. It'll be heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. When I got back after that first year and looked at my wife, Michelle, she said, what was it like? And I went, Michelle, it was heaven on earth. So these kids went after God. It was just like, forget who your neighbor is. Let's do this. So, and the air didn't work. It was 150 degrees, but everybody's still going after God. People passing out. So it was the greatest week of my life. It was. And then once you like, okay, that was just this session. It can't be like that all the time. Then you go to a morning session and it's like 10 notches up from the night before. Every session just kept going higher and higher and higher. And you know, and I'll make a comment now. I say the valley is where God comes to save us, but the mountaintop is where we go to meet God. I have never and can never find a better mountaintop experience than Planet Shakers Conference. Every time. Wow. Every time.
Wow. What we've had some amazing highlights there. I remember a time that you said, if you want a hug, come to the foyer. Now, there's 4,000 teenagers in the auditorium. And I'm like, all right, we're going to go out to dinner after that. So Reggie's going to hug people. So I'm thinking, oh, yeah, a few will turn up, you know, maybe 10 or 20. But the whole conference turns up to give you a hug.
Yeah, I hugged 4,000 kids. It took like 2 hours. What the world? I ain't doing that again. Yeah, I would do. I'd do it today. It was just, it's just moments that I remember one time there were so many kids, you couldn't give an altar call. They go, you can give an altar call, but they got to do it at their seat. And I went, well, there's a parking lot. So I had all the leaders go in the parking lot. And I said, if you That's really want to get saved and you're done playing with God, run to the parking lot and somebody's going to meet you there to pray. Kids started turning and running in the parking lot. But we told the leaders, if anyone runs out the door, they want to get saved, just grab them and pray for them. It was just awesome. It was just awesome.
There were kids, young people crying in the car park parking lot. There were people, you know, getting touched by the power of God. And it's, you say 150 degrees, it's like 40 degrees Celsius in Australian terms. So, and young people, the amazing thing to me about Planet Shakers Conference is young people were lining up at 6 a.m. to get into 9 a.m. service. You know, we travel the world. Usually you have big crowds at night and pretty small crowds in the morning. But here it's big every service and the hunger is just incredible. We couldn't do salvation articles like you normally do. So the only way to do salvation article was stand to your feet or go to the car park or come forward. There was no counseling rooms. There were none of the, there weren't enough books. There weren't enough counselors. It was just incredible, actually. Amazing. What are some more highlights that you can remember?
I love the music. I mean, it's just something that as a speaker, it made it easy. Now, look, I know if you, this is probably going to get out and I'm going to be looking really bad, but there's not many conferences where I show up before the whole conference starts. So like if it starts at 7, I'm usually there 5:30, 6 o'clock. And just cause when it starts, I'm in the room. And if I'm speaking, it doesn't matter. Even if I'm not, I'm going to every session because something incredible is going to happen at these sessions. And the music just, it made it so easy to preach, so easy. Yeah. And it was amazing to me how even now with Josh, all the way back to Henry, they would write stuff. And I say, okay, God, I got this sermon. I'm out. This is for Planet Shakers. They would literally do a song that would be a part of my sermon. And I know they haven't heard, talked to me and I haven't talked to them. But year after year after year, that would happen. And it was just cool to see how God just orchestrates his pieces. And you know you're doing the right thing because that song was perfect to this sermon. And it happened over and over and over again. And to the point to where now, like, I look at, like, Rudy and they got kids. Everybody's got kids. And I talk to them through you know, Facebook and Instagram and stuff. And it's a family. It's just so much fun. That's what we're supposed to be, I think. We're supposed to be family. It's not supposed to just be a conference or just an event. And this is not. It's a family affair. And if you haven't never done it, you've got to be a part of this.
You know what I do love? I love that because, you know, you and I go to conferences and you got speakers that are almost like peacocks. They're trying to strut their stuff and they're like, hey, and trying to be better than the next speaker. What I loved about what happened at Planet Shakers is all the speakers were in the same team, same family, cheering each other on. There was no prima donnas. If you were, you didn't get invited back anyway. And everyone complimented each other and everybody was cheering each other on. And you know, if there was any competitiveness, that all went because that's what happens in the presence of God. It's like this, we're going together.
At Planet Shakers, from the minute you get off the plane, I don't even know how you guys pick the dudes who pick us up, but you always pick the right people to drive us because they start that whole, and you said it about the whole racism thing, you know, it's that hospitality, that giving, that honoring spirit. Honoring spirit makes you want to do good, not because you're the best and that you want to do something to touch these people because they own this whole thing. They own not just the conference, this lifestyle, this Jesus event, this relationship, this family that we have is something that is absolutely contagious like that. And the speakers that I met 15, 20 years ago are still my friends today. And we're all still friends. And then we can literally go back and say, I might have heard of Glenn Berto, but I know Glenn because we did Planet Shakers together. You know, I might have heard of Joel Houston even, but I know Joel Houston because I was introduced to him at Planet Shaker Conference in Sydney. Yeah. All that happened because like-minded, like heart makes us family no matter what. Yeah. And that's just the greatest thing.
Yeah, it is. And we all go through journeys. And, you know, I got some of my greatest friends in the world, you, Glenn Berto, Chris Hill, A whole heap of people, our boss off. We're still friends. We're still connected and we still love each other. And so it is pretty cool. I just had a memory actually come. I hadn't planned to talk about this, but you talk about being the drivers and people who pick you up and all that. And I think one of our drivers, Darren Buller, was driving you around at conference. And one year at our men's ministry, we decided to honor him and we took up an offering, and you helped this as well, to fly him and his daughter to Disney World. Darren had lost his wife previously to that, and he had raised Taylor and had done an amazing job. And you were a part of taking him around to Disneyland. He was your driver, but you became his driver in Florida.
It was awesome.
It was crazy.
And that's it. It's family. It's family.
Yeah.
And a lot of people go, oh, you're just a driver. No. He's my brother. And, you know, she's like, I'm Uncle Reggie to Taylor. It's just the way it was supposed to be. Like your kids, I mean, watching them grow up, fall in love, get married. That's just the coolest thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. We, you know, in every conference, every family, every life, you know, we were 20 years doing this and we're still doing it. There are also tragedies and challenges and situations that come. And one of our conferences, a car or two cars on the way back from Melbourne to Victoria had a tragic car accident, and two people passed away, got graduated to heaven. And I remember talking to you about it because I was devastated about it. You were devastated about it. And you said, because we were about to have a conference in Brisbane and there was a gap between Adelaide and Brisbane. And you said, can I fly in and can I minister to the youth group and the kids that were hurting right then at that time? And it was just amazing. Can you remember that? Can you remember that situation?
Oh, yeah. I remember that. I remember that very well. I remember not just the youth group and you know, and you're like, what do you do? What do you say? But literally I'm in the parking lot and we get out of the car and they didn't tell them I was coming, but all the youth group was together. When they saw me, they just start crying and screaming and running and hugging. And then I spent time with them. Then I said, well, let's go to the hospital. And I remember I did a Sunday morning service, and I did a Sunday night service. And between the Sunday morning and Sunday night, I went to the hospital to see the girl that was hurt really bad. And I spoke to her and I said, I'll come back tonight and tell you a bedtime story, literally. And I went and preached again. And my driver goes, dude, you're going to go. I said, let's go back to the hospital. I got to tell her a bedtime story. And I was speaking to her, praying for her, you know, just telling her, you're a princess. You're going to make it. This is going to be great. Yeah. Not knowing. And it was her father who was behind the curtain listening the whole time. And I ended up getting to pray and minister to him because of me wanting to spend time with his daughter. And he was just like, aren't you the big name preacher from America? I said, yeah. Why are you here? I said, for your daughter. And he goes, but there's no other crowd. That's Planet Shaker. We don't do it for the many. We do it for the one. It's for the one. And you know, and that just speaks to you letting me go and letting me do that. And you trusted me to be your hand extended in that event, which ended up being great because you can trust me. But it was important for us. And it is important for us to be real for people.
Yeah.
And to be there for people.
Exactly. The amazing thing out of that, the brother of the girl who passed away, graduated to heaven, he is now teaching in the school that his sister went to. And they have an award to honor her. And on that day, he gets up and testifies about Jesus and does a salvation altar call in his classroom. And the class has an encounter with God. And he's about to get married. In fact, I'm marrying him next year. And Jimmy, James Pilmer, he married into the family who were a part of the youth group there. And his wife is, I think his wife actually may have been one of the people in the hospital that you went and saw. And so, and they have two children. So out of something that was so bad and, you know, people still carry grief from it, But out of that, God turns our mourning into dancing. And those girls are in heaven. They're celebrating Jesus. They're in a better place than we are. But out of that tragedy, triumph has come. And really, I think that's your life story in one sense. Out of tragedy, triumph can come. And so it was just an incredible thing to see you. You put your hand up. You didn't just go, yeah, all right, if you want me to. You're like, no, I've got to get there. And again, love overcomes fear and pain.
Every time. Psalms 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. We need to remember that we're walking through this valley, that we were never meant to stay or to camp out or to pitch a tent or nothing like that. We just got to keep moving, because failure isn't failure because you failed. Failure is failure because you stopped moving. We got to keep moving. And us going into those situations help people keep moving.
Totally. What would you, if there was something you could say to people listening right now, in your life, time in my life, we've referred to it before, but there's never been times like we've seen now. The whole world is shut down. One of the things of shutdown is mental health issues. Suicide is on the rise, unfortunately. Family violence is on the rise. We see what's happening with racism. We talked about that. Beirut, you think about what just happened in Beirut, the big explosion, the government. All these things are happening around the world. What would you say God wants to do in this season? What would you say to somebody at this time?
I would say there's a star in the sky that's going to lead us home. Just same star that led those shepherds to Jesus when he was a baby in that manger. That star is going to be brighter than any bomb, than any disease, than any racism, than anything that we're facing. There's a star, and it's going to lead us home. We just got to keep our hope and our faith in Jesus no matter what. I went 16 weeks with no money, and I paid every bill. I still, to this day, don't know except one thing. There's a star, and his name is Jesus. And the reason he's shining, he's not shining to be the brightest star in the sky. He's shining so that we can find our way home.
Yeah,
we just got to remember to keep our hope in him, keep our eyes on him no matter what. We're going to get home.
Yeah.
Together.
Amen. Together. That's true. Jesus is the answer to everything. He's the answer to racism. He's the answer to poverty. He's the answer to sickness. He's the answer to loneliness. Jesus is the answer, period. There's no other answer. We can come up with this philosophy and that philosophy, but he is the answer to our pain, to our discouragement, to our loneliness. Jesus is the answer. And if I thought of you and what you always preach is Jesus, 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 Jesus. You don't preach Reggie. You don't preach Planet Shakers. You honor those things. You honor Planet Shakers. You honor me, but you preach Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Because as our friend Glenn Berteau says, there was no star over our manger. And we're just... I don't say we're sinners saved by grace anymore, because we're saints saved by grace. We're no longer sinners, we're saints because of Jesus, and he made a difference in our lives. And I just want you to know there are millions of people that have been impacted through the Planet Shakers world, through your life. Your love and devotion to Jesus, your love and devotion to your friends and your family, your heart to reach and bring hope, your capacity to rise above the storm, your strength. There'll be times that I felt beaten down, and your strength alongside of me. You're cheering us on all over the world. I know people have opened doors to us because Reggie Dabzer says, you need to get Planet Shakers. There is one moment actually that I want to go back to that I've just remembered. We're at Melbourne Arena and Indiaree was there, and you were sitting next to me, I think. I didn't know who Indiaree was. Right, so I wasn't old school enough. You were, and you go, that's Indiaree. She was there with John Gray. And there was a moment in worship, it was a song called Holy, And Natalie and Chelsea went into this amazing worship moment, and Indy Ari stood up and began to worship. It was just crazy. Do you remember that? Because you were informing me of what was going on.
Yeah, she's one of the greatest jazz artists in American history, and just unbelievable. And she was there doing a concert, and she came with John. But it was just a moment, dude. I was like, bro, you don't know who this is. But it was just amazing. And it's cool to see that. And I would say that how God uses Planet Shakers to reach anyone, anywhere, anytime, any place. And that's just beautiful.
And what was cool to me is you are exactly the same to her as you were to the 14-year-old kid that was there.
Yeah.
In fact, you're probably more, you were very loving and honoring to her, but you, status never attracts you. You're not like, well, he's a big deal, I'll go chase that. No, you're always, I just love people. And that's what we've loved so much about you, is your love for people. My kids love you, our church love you, Australia loves you, and we love that we have a brother from another mother, but it's true, you're like a brother. And
absolutely,
you know, that you would be there for me, I'd be there for you, and that's really the picture. What joined Reggie and Russell together, the R&R? What joined Reggie and Russell? Jesus. He's the one.
Absolutely.
In the upper room, what took 120 people from different places, different backgrounds, different experience? Jesus. And I love what you said. The star in the sky. If we keep our focus on Jesus, we can fix up all the issues on life, because He is the answer.
Absolutely. Yes.
So I just want to say we love you, we honor you, and we're so excited to have you continue in our life. And we're getting younger each day, Reggie. You and I, we're young.
Come on, man. We still look the same, bro. We still look the same.
We do.
I'm not telling them.
They might show footage that makes us look young.
yeah, it could be. It's out there, that's for sure. Hey, but you remember, I'll tell everybody that Russell's black anyway, because the black don't crack.
I received that.
There it is. There you go.
Thank you. We love you. Talk to you soon.
All right, man. Have a good day. Love you guys.